A couple of verses that we looked at last week and then move through some new verses. Verse 7. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye a light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Verse 9. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. You won't be surprised that multiple authors in commenting on this passage made comments about how we live is connected to our salvation. We seem to keep coming back to that, don't we, in the book of Ephesians. One says the behavior of saints should correspond with their positions. Since they are children of light, that is, since their very nature is spiritual light, they are to live accordingly. Paul says to the church at Rome in Romans chapter 13 and verse 12, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Another says the conduct of a Christian is the best evidence of his new birth and the best testimony of to the unsaved of the regeneration power inherent in that new birth. However, all of us have not always lived this way, have we? There are times, and there are times currently, there were times, and there will be times in the future in which we live contrary to what we claim. And we need to be confronted by truth when we live contrary to what we claim. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't wake up in the morning thinking, I hope somebody confronts me today. I hope somebody just comes in and says, you're wrong. Now, the truth is we need to be corrected, but we don't usually wake up in the morning thinking, that would be just the perfect day if someone did that. Matter of fact, if 10 people did it in a row, it'd be even better. Right? Some of you are chuckling because you're not sure if I'm being serious or not. We don't wake up thinking that, even though we need to be correct. Well, let me ask you this. When you think of the word exposure, what do you think? Well, there might be good things involved. Back in the day when there was actual film in cameras, young people, they actually put it in there and we rolled it as we took it. Anyway, they weren't all digital, right? If a film was exposed, it was messed up. The picture itself, if it was exposed to light, it would be all messed up, you know. So if you open that thing before you got all the way to the end, you know, and you never really knew if you were all the way to the end until it started, all that kind of stuff, you know. You could be exposed to radiation, and that not be a good thing, right? But I want us to see this morning, I've entitled the message simply, The Exposure. Because that's really what God is talking about in this text of Scripture. And I want us to see simply this morning that we must expose sin in others. By the way, it'd be a good idea to do it in ourselves too. And allow sin to be exposed in our own lives. You say, Pastor, you put that in the imperative. So are you telling me that this text commands me to expose sins in others? It actually does. It actually does. So let's walk through this text this morning, asking God to open our eyes to, in some cases, what is a difficult text. Well, first, we want to look at the partakers. Just a quick review from last week in verses 7 and 8. Paul again says, don't be a partaker with them. Don't be like you used to be. Darkness that's there. Because you are children of light, don't act like children of disobedience, because God's wrath rests on those who are disobedient. Don't share with it. Don't be a fellow partaker of it is the idea. And why not? Well, because you were sometimes darkness, but now you're light. Well, therefore, logically, walk as children of light. That's what you're supposed to do. We talked last week about you are a whatever. In my case, an ogle or whatever. Maybe your dad has said that to you. Act like it or walk like it, or we don't do or we do do, whatever it might be. That's what God is saying to us here. Living as children of light means adopting values that are the opposite of the surrounding culture we mentioned last week. So because we are light, we should not act like we are in darkness or that those in darkness. But I want us to see number two here quickly, the product. Well, when we are children of light and we don't walk in darkness, what happens? Why do we walk as children of light? What's the product of this? He says here, for the fruit of the Spirit. Simply for means because. Because this fruit, this gain, this profit in us, this fruit refers to the natural results. Rooted in Christ, a believer's life should produce Christ-like virtues. What are those virtues? Well, he gives them to us. Goodness, righteousness, and truth. Now, we know this is not all the fruits of the Spirit, because there's another passage of Scripture that tells us about them, but Paul chooses to tell the church at Ephesus these things. So let's look at these. So what is the product of these things? Well, number one, there's the word goodness. The word goodness simply means goodness or generosity. One author says it carries the idea of a positive moral quality characterized especially by interest in the welfare of others. So this is not primarily that I'm good myself. Can I just tell you, I'm not saying it's wrong to take care of yourself, but boy, we're a society today that's consumed with self. Be good to yourself. Okay, the characteristic of goodness in the Word of God is a concentration on others. That's what it means. It's a generosity, a goodness to them. Paul uses this term several times in other passages of Scripture. In Romans 15 and verse 14, he says, I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. And of course, the passage in Galatians 5, verse 22 and following, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. This characteristic of goodness would impact how we treat people, how we treat them in stores, how we treat them in restaurants, how we treat them in other areas of life, how we interact with someone when we pass them on the street. In other words, I'm concerned about them. I don't make rude comments about them getting out of our way or that a waitress didn't serve me just like they're supposed to or whatever. In other words, I'm part of the fruit of walking as children of light is that we treat people better than they deserve to be treated. That's called grace. What a powerful thing it is. I've mentioned this to you before, but I'll say it again. What a shame that the worst day of the week that waitresses dread is Sunday. Talk to them. They'll tell you. Why? Because they're never treated so rudely as Sunday. Can I tell you another little thing? My daughter, Sarah, worked at the Wilds for a summer, and she was a waitress. She said, by far, the worst week that any waitress ever had to put up with at camp was the week they served the youth pastors. Nikki, you served as a waitress too. She's shaking her head, yes. What a shame that the men who are supposed to be leading the groups can't even treat another brother and sister in Christ with goodness. It's a fruit of light. So do people see us as good people? Do they see us as generous people? It's one of the characteristics, one of the byproducts or the product of this walking as light. But number two, he says, all goodness and righteousness. The word righteousness means the quality, state, or practice of judicial responsibility. Now notice this, with a focus on fairness, justice, and equitableness. Again, Paul uses this term in other places in Scripture. Romans 6 and verse 13, he says, "Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness with God." In the middle of Paul's prayer to the church at Philippi, he says, "Being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God." Again, the word righteous refers to this quality of life from which righteous actions spring. So what does this term mean again? Internal change results in external works. In other words, when God genuinely changes me on the inside, when I claim to be a child of light, it should demonstrate itself in external actions. External actions. What externally are we doing that demonstrates our righteousness? Now, you're like, are you, Pastor, what are you talking about? I'm talking about how we treat other people. Do we care about injustice in the world? If you will study many of the movements in our world who tried to right injustice, you will find that the beginning of many of those movements were Christians. Why? Because they understood righteousness. They understood that injustice is something that God does not like. So part of our righteousness is that we care about other people. And then he says, number three, truth. Truth. That is the quality of being in accord with what is true, or truthfulness, or dependability. It's uprightness in thought and deed. Do you notice how many of these words come back to not only what we are internally, but what we are externally? It's not just thinking true, but it's acting on truth. What does this truth do for me? Well, John chapter 8 and verse 32, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Okay, well, what is truth then? Well, John 17, 17 says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." Jesus said unto them, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." All right, so what is truth? Well, it is both the living word, Jesus Christ, and the written word, the word of God. So if I want to know what is truth, I match my life up to what does God say in His Word. Like, does that mean from time to time my life will be pointed in a different direction than I thought? Can I tell you, if it's not, you're not paying attention to truth? Because every person in this room at one point or another had to be pointed in a different direction than they thought, because we are all sinners in desperate need of a Savior. That's why Jesus Christ came to this earth to die on the cross anyway, because we had no ability to save ourselves. And even after salvation, even after we repented of our sins and trusted Christ as our Savior, our life needs constant correcting by truth. That's why we spend time in God's Word every day. We come to church and listen to truth because it guides us back. Okay, whoa. Don't do that. Nope. That was the wrong attitude. Boy, that thought's not too good, is it? How do you think that would please me? Whoa, why'd you do that? What? All the time. Right? Don't look at me like a calf looking at a new gate. You're like, "I don't know what you're talking about, Pastor." I'm like, you should, because it ought to be correcting us all the time. That's what truth is. So does truth characterize our life? Now, all three of these characteristics reflect God's character in a believer's life. So why walk as children of light? Because The fruit of the Spirit is goodness, righteousness, and truth. Okay, number three. He then says, proving. So number three, we talk about the proving. What exactly does this mean? Well, he gives us a number of things. In verse 10, he says, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. All right, so first off, let's talk about this examination. Because the word proof here means to put to the test, to examine, to approve. One author says to make a critical examination of something to determine genuineness. Paul says the church at Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 21, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Then he says, proving what is acceptable, that is pleasing, to whom? Unto the Lord. We're trying to learn what is pleasing to our Savior. That's what this is about. Paul uses both of these words in Romans chapter 12. Verses 1 and 2. You're familiar with them, but pick up the words. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. See, there are going to be things that come into our life that aren't clearly defined in Scripture. And what do we got to do? Well, we've got to figure out what God wants. Not everything is laid out in detail in Scripture about what we should and should not do, but we should test these things considering Jesus to see, does He approve of this? By the way, what a lot of people claim He would approve of, He's clearly said in His Word that He doesn't approve of it. So He never will approve of that which He clearly says He's against. Now, by the way, we do this all the time. Even if you don't recognize it, you do it all the time. Do you buy fruit in a grocery store without proving it? Most of the time we don't. What do we do? Well, it depends on what kind of fruit it is. If it's a cantaloupe, aren't you supposed to smell the end or something like that? If it's got this smell, it's a good cantaloupe. Pfft. There are no good cantaloupes. I'm just saying. Like, what's the point of that? You know? But I mean, if we picked up an apple out of the grocery store and when we grabbed it, the backside of our fingers squished into it, would you buy the apple? No, you might not buy 10 or 12 around it either, right? Because, I mean, after all, one apple, anyway. So we do that all the time. We pick up a banana or a bunch of bananas and we try to figure out, are these too green? Are they too black? Are they, what am I doing with them? Am I making banana bread out of them? They can be as rotten as they want to be. It's another good reason not to eat banana bread. But anyway, whatever you're doing, we do that all the time, right? So y'all have a full menu of what I do and do not like before long, right? We do that just so we can get on the men's side too with tires, right? We get new tires and what do? We go out and look at them like, what does that mean anyway? Like, do you know how much air pressure is in it by looking at it? You know, don't you love these people whose car has a problem and they lift up the hood and look? They don't have a clue what they're looking for, but it makes them look smart, right? So we're constantly doing things to prove, to test it. God says we're to do that to what is pleasing to Jesus Christ. Are we seeking to please Him? So there's examination, but verse 11 then tells us about exposing. Look at verse 11. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Now, let me just do a little side note here for a moment. Some believe that verses 11 through 13 are referring to believers exposing other believers and not lost people. Their argument is that God brings to light the lost people's deeds. I believe that is what He's talking about here. I don't believe this is talking about exposing lost people. I think He's talking about exposing Christians. Okay, now, God exposes the lost people, except obviously if we're talking to them in salvation, we're going to talk about what they do wrong. But notice what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 12. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without, meaning without the church? Do not ye judge them that are within? For them that are without, God judgeth. Therefore, put away from among yourselves that wicked person. All right, in the context of 1 Corinthians, what's Paul talking about? He's talking about a man living in an incestual relationship. Paul was saying it wasn't the church's job necessarily to go on the streets of Corinth and tell everybody that wasn't living right that they were wrong. But he did think it was the church's responsibility to point out that man living in their mix that he was wrong and expose his evil deeds. Now, please, I'm not saying it's never wrong for us to point out wickedness that happens in the world. I'm not saying that. But can I tell you, by and large, the world don't care. Do you know what lost men act like? Lost men. It shouldn't shock us that men disobey God's word. What we're supposed to concentrate on is right here, number one, and then amongst ourselves. That's what he's talking about in this passage of Scripture, okay? Mr. Best, who is a writer, says he rightly observes, this Mr. Best rightly observes, that the reference to secrecy is much more easily understood of members of the community, in other words, of the church, for unbelievers sin openly without shame. It doesn't bother them. So he says here, have no fellowship. In other words, don't be connected with, don't participate in, or don't share in what? Well, the unfruitful, the useless, the unproductive deeds, works of darkness, as it's called here. Peter uses the idea of unfruitfulness in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. What were those things? Well, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge goodness, and to goodness patience, and so forth. As Peter walks through those things, he said, these should be a part of your life every single day as a Christian. But if they're not, they're going to make you unfruitful. They'll make you barren and unfruitful. So he says here, have no fellowship, don't have a connection with the unfruitful works of darkness. One author defines this as the state of spiritual or moral darkness. In other words, these people are godless, if you will. Now, that certainly can apply to lost people as well, but primarily he's talking about people within the church who are acting as if they are children of darkness when they really have claimed to be children of light. Well, what does Paul say that we're to do with them? But rather, don't have fellowship, don't connect with them, don't do those things with them, but he says rather reprove them. This word reprove simply means to scrutinize or to examine carefully, to bring to light. Hence, exposure. To bring to light, to expose, to set forth. And the darkness and light theme suggests exposure with implication of censorship. In other words, it's not just a matter of I'm going to bring to light what's been wrong, but I'm going to bring to light what's wrong and then we're going to deal with it. Matter of fact, you could say that this passage of Scripture very much speaks to church discipline. John writes in Revelation 18 in verse 4, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. When we live out our life in the light of the gospel, the light of the Lord Jesus Christ, we expose others who are not living in the light. And by the way, people not living in the light love it to be dark. And when we expose them living in darkness, they're more than likely to be mad at you. Matter of fact, they're more likely to point out where you're wrong. By the way, if we look at the whole context of Scripture, that's why God says before you point out someone else's, make sure your life's right. Interesting, in Fallujah, in Iraq, when Marines were fighting there, it was one of the tougher cities for years for us to finally conquer because of the insurgency. But you know one of the things that the insurgents love to do all around Fallujah? They love to keep the trash piled up in the streets. for a number of reasons. One, it said very simply that the Americans couldn't even pick up trash out of the streets. But it kept the people kind of demoralized, and they could hide explosives in the trash. Can I tell you why Satan loves to keep piles of trash in our life? Because he likes to use that to explode us too. He likes to tell us that, see, God couldn't even clean up that mess in your life. See, we must have relationships with people so that when we expose their sin, there is a basis for helping them. I don't recommend today you walk up to somebody in our church here that you really have no relationship whatsoever and said, based on pastor's message this morning, I want to tell you. But can I tell you this? As a community of believers, as a local church, we are supposed to be helping each other. Men, we're supposed to be helping each other be better men. We're supposed to be saying to one another, hey, how you doing? What's God teaching you? You been in His Word lately? How's your prayer life doing? When's the last time you took your wife on a date? You're like, whoa, I don't think that's anybody's business. That's not what God's Word says. We're supposed to be interacting with each other, and we're supposed to have enough of a relationship with each other that it's okay to ask those kind of questions. Now, when I say okay, I'm not saying we're like, yippee. But it's good for us, isn't it? Because when we are corrected, we then are correct, right? That's pretty good for us. Though it's not fun in the process. And that's exactly what Paul is telling these people here. Is our life such that we can expose others? And when I say expose, I'm not talking about on social media. I'm not talking about to everybody else. I'm talking about to that individual because I love them enough and I care about them enough to say, hey, this is an area in your life that I'm concerned about. Number three, under this particular point, we see not only the examination and the exposing, but we see the embarrassment. Notice what verse 12 says, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. It's shameful. It's disgraceful for someone to talk about this, of these things done in secret. Now, this is important. Exposing will mean that sin is talked about, because Paul actually says that in verse 13. For all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. It's not that we can't talk about them. Paul is saying we shouldn't have to. It's shameful for us to talk about these things. Isn't that, let's go back to the church at Corinth. Isn't that what he was saying to the church at Corinth when he told them to correct this guy? He's like, you guys, the people in Corinth won't even live like this. What are you doing? You got to correct this. You cannot let it continue to happen in your midst. So there are some things that will be an embarrassment. Exposing will mean that their sin will be spoken of, but we shouldn't have to talk about it. Do we still have things that show our shame? Isn't it interesting, again, in our country, how much people want to make things less shameful? We don't make things that God says we should be ashamed to talk about in public. We want to laugh at it in our media. That doesn't mean that God is pleased with it. Number four, he then talks about the publicity of it. He says in verse 13, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Again, this reproved is the same word in verse 11. Rather, reprove them, to scrutinize them. The word manifest simply means to make clear, to cause to become visible, to reveal or to expose publicly. Well, what things What makes things clear? What makes things exposed? Notice what he says here. It is the light. It's the light. The same light that we're to walk as children of light. The same light that you are light in the Lord. It's the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what really exposes things. Please listen to me. It's not your opinion. It's not your extra biblical whatever. It's the light of God's Word. Now, I'm not trying to be frivolous here, but it would be whatever your opinion about something is, and you make it law, if you will. We have a joke running in our family that people are crazy who eat mac and cheese at Thanksgiving. Like, nobody in their right mind eats mac and cheese at Thanksgiving. Now, I realize that a lot of you do because I surveyed this several years ago, and I'm really sorry for you. Like, how did this whole thing start? Well, it started because I got a daughter-in-law now in my family, and she was like, who's making the mac and cheese for Thanksgiving? I'm like, nobody. Who makes mac and cheese for Thanksgiving? And she's like, my family does. I'm like, what is wrong with them people? Right? We did make mac and cheese, by the way, for those of you that are ready to throw rocks at me. I did let that happen, okay? I sent this little thing to our family group the other day, and it said, which of these items must go from Thanksgiving? Well, one of them was mac and cheese. So, of course, I said, in honor of my daughter-in-law, mac and cheese, of course, you know. But let's say, and again, I'm not trying to make this frivolous, but let's say that I tried to make that a biblical standard. By the way, just in case you're wondering, there are people that ridiculous out there, okay? But let's say that I did that. That's not the light we're talking about being exposed, all right? I think she's wrong. She's ridiculous. I'm kidding, okay? It's the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, it's the light of God that we're walking in. Remember the context. What is that? It's because of the light that we produce the fruit of goodness, righteousness, and truth. Now, you think if you act around someone in goodness, righteousness, and truth, do you think if you expose them in a loving relationship, that's going to be taken better? Would be when it's the clear light of God's Word. So do we allow the light of God to help others in their sin? The truth is, do we allow the light of God's Word to help us in our sin? Can I just give you a little bit of thing? This is not necessarily clearly laid out in the Bible, but it's been true in my life. Whatever I quickly can identify in somebody else's life and whatever I quickly can make me aggravated in somebody else's life is probably my problem. Boy, I just can't stand people who have. Well, just get to working on that in your life because that's probably what you got a problem with. You're like, not me. That might be why nobody listens to you when you point it out to them. These unfruitful works of darkness are to be exposed in order that offending believers might produce the fruit of light, namely goodness, righteousness, and truth in others. See, most people don't take delight in walking around pointing out sin in others. Some people do, but most people don't. We may not participate in the evil, but point it out, nah, that's not for me, Pastor. Can I tell you, God commands you to? I mean, I'm not going to partake with it, but boy, to tell somebody else they're wrong, that is not my personality. I don't think God's commands depend on your personality. They're just commands in Scripture. Well, that's not going to be fun. Oh, no. No, it's not fun. If you think it's not fun to be rebuked, it's about double that to be the rebuker. To walk up to somebody and go, hey, you got a problem in your life I want to try to tell you about. But we must expose sin in others. and we must allow sin to be exposed in our own lives. That's exactly what Paul is talking about here. By the way, I read for you at the very beginning of the message a verse in Romans about the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. We don't have time this morning to deal with verse 14, but I want you to read verse 14 with me of this text. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. We'll get to that, Lord willing, next week as we work through some of these texts. Very simply, God says we're to allow exposure in our life, and we are to do the exposing as we walk in goodness and righteousness and truth. Father, we thank you for your word, how we need it, how we need to be reminded of it, how I need to be reminded of it. Would you help our dear people here today? Would you help them to recognize sin that needs to be exposed in their life? Maybe it's that they're not living in goodness. Maybe it's that they're not living in righteousness or truth. And then, Lord, would they be willing to expose that in others, the people that they dearly love and that they want to help? Would you help that to happen today, Lord? We need you so much. We thank you for your word that you gave us, that we can dive into it, and it applies to our life all the time. What a blessing. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Can I just ask you this morning, have you been exposed? Are you willing to be the one exposing? Has God, the Holy Spirit, specifically dealt with you this morning in an area that we talked about in this text? You'd say, Pastor, I needed one of these areas this morning. Would you pray for me? I'd love to do that. Not going to embarrass you, but I'd love to pray for you. Would you just slip up your hand? God's spoken to me. Good. Thank you for those. Good. Either I was needed that exposure, or I need to learn to be a person that exposes. Thank you for that. Would you let the Holy Spirit now work in your heart? Would you quietly stand with heads bowed and eyes closed? They're going to begin to quietly play. A couple of our men here at the front. If you need something, we'd love to help you from Scripture. Would you just tell God, Lord, this is the area I need to change. This is what I've been exposed to this morning. Let them play through one more time. Would you let God speak this morning? Look this way for just a moment, if you would, please. Just another quick thing I forgot to say this morning. College young people or younger end people, whichever one, we could use some help this Saturday setting up the platform that's going to be part of our Christmas cantata. Brother Bob, would you raise your hand right there? If you could help Saturday, Brother Bob is there. He would love some young guys to come and help him do that. Just see him. He can give you details on it.
We're going to try to get that set up so they can begin to practice and those kind of things. So if you could help us with that. And don't forget to bring the candy for the parade. We need that sooner rather than later. It's been so good to have Rachel and Christian here. Notice I said that in right order according to them. So I'm just kidding. But Christian, we're going to ask you to pray this morning. Would you close us in a word of prayer, please? Thank you all for being here.